Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 44 to close at 20,837. S&P 500 down 8 at 2,365. NASDAQ Composite down 18 at 5,865. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps down 7 at 1,362. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 2 basis points at 2.59%. Oil down 45 cents at $47.95 per barrel. Gold down $5.10 at $11.99.60 per ounce. Federal Reserve Open Market Committee is meeting today and tomorrow to determine monetary policy. Fed policymakers have clearly indicated they will raise the overnight benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points to a range of 0.75% to 1%, and may signal there could be even more than the 3 rate rises they have forecast for this year. And while the Fed meeting is the focus for markets this week, investors also have to assess the impact of central bank meetings in Britain and Japan, also a gathering of G20 finance chiefs, President Trump's first budget, an election in the Netherlands. The dollar index rose 0.3%. Yields on benchmark 10-year German government bonds briefly hit 14-month highs of 0.5% before reversing. Oil fell to 3.5-month lows after Saudi Arabia announced it has reversed about 1/3 of its production cuts, and OPEC reported oil stocks were still rising despite agreed output cuts. U.S. producer prices increased 0.3% in February after rising 0.6% in January, and the year-on-year gain was the largest in nearly 5 years. In the 12 months through February, the producer price index jumped 2.2%. It's the biggest advance since March 2012. The core PPI, a key gauge of underlying producer price pressures that includes food, energy, and trade services, increased 0.3% in February. It's the biggest gain since April 2016. Core PPI increased 1.8% in the 12 months through February. Small business owner optimism dipped in February, but stayed near long-time highs. The sentiment gauge from the National Federation of Independent Business fell 0.6 point to 105.3. The stronger economy increasingly seems to come at a price for at least some small business owners. The NFIB wrote in its release, "This is one of the tightest labor markets in the 43-year history of the NFIB survey." FDIC Vice Chairman Thomas Honig rolled out what he called a comprehensive plan for reforming bank oversight, calling on the biggest lenders to further separate investment banking activities and accept stricter capital requirements in exchange for fewer regulations. It would require large, complex universal banks to separately capitalize and manage their traditional commercial banking activities and their non-traditional activities such as investment banking. In other words, a variation on the Glass-Steagall Act. Wall Street seems largely unfazed by political turmoil and uncertainty. The major indices are still very close to record highs, and the VIX, the volatility index, is near long-time lows, closing today at 12.23. There are a couple of possible explanations. The global economy has been in recovery mode, a slow, sluggish, and boring uptrend. According to the World Bank, annual global growth since 2011 has hovered in a fairly narrow 2.3 to 3% range. The International Monetary Fund's measure pegs it an even tighter 3.1 to 3.5% range since 2012. And if both institutions' estimates are met, 2017 will be yet another year of growth being stuck within those narrow parameters. Global company earnings volatility has been low throughout the post-crisis recovery, consistently 5% or lower over the past 5 years. And in the past 20 years, there have only been two significant bouts of earnings volatility of 15% and higher, or global recessions. They coincided with the market crashes of 2000, 2002, and 2007 to 2009. The other reason is that in a low interest rate environment, investors just don't have much alternative, so they ride out the risk. So we have strong data but uncertain politics, and they seem to balance out, at least for now. Luxury fashion retailer Neiman Marcus Group said it was exploring strategic alternatives, including a sale of the company. The move comes about 2 months after the company pulled its IPO. Neiman Marcus also reported a 6.1% drop in second quarter revenue as issues in its new merchandising and distribution system forced the company to take additional write-downs. Hudson's Bay has emerged as the most prominent suitor. MoneyGram International has received a buyout bid from Euronet Worldwide, 15% higher than MoneyGram's current buyout deal with Ant Financial Services Group. Euronet's bid of $15.20 a share in cash will value the company at just over $1 billion. The Ant Financial bid MoneyGram agreed to in January was for 13.25 per share. MoneyGram's stock has doubled over the past 12 months through Monday. Ruby Tuesday said it was putting itself up for sale. The casual dining industry slump showing no signs of ebbing. The Tennessee-based company said it's considering strategic alternatives, including a potential sale or merger. The move was paired with an announcement that the company's sales at restaurants open at least a year tumbled about 4% for the period ended February 28th. The chain's quarterly revenue also fell nearly 17% compared to a year earlier, down to $225 million. Networking software company Citrix System has been exploring strategic alternatives, including a potential sale. Citrix, which gave activist hedge fund Elliott Management a board seat in 2015, has looked at selling itself in the past before embarking on spinoffs and sales of smaller business units. Now has a market cap of around $13.2 billion. You might not be able to get there from here. A powerful nor'easter has been hitting the mid-Atlantic and northeast with heavy snow, sleet, rain, prompting more than 6,000 flight cancellations today and more than 2,500 delayed flights, resulting in bad news for the airline stocks. The NYSE ARCA Airline Index today lost about 2%, dropping to a four-month low. Plus, the storm resulted in school closures, power outages, and warnings from officials to stay off the roads, and that's bad news for trucking stocks. Brexit is coming. UK Prime Minister Theresa May has been granted the power to trigger Article 50. However, she's not expected to begin the formal process of the UK's exit from the Euro Union, at least until the end of the month. The New York Attorney General has accused ExxonMobil of withholding documents from his office as it investigates whether the energy company misrepresented its understanding of climate change to investors and the public. Lawyers for Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's office said in court documents that Exxon had not disclosed that Rex Tillerson, former chairman and CEO, used an alias email address to discuss risk management issues related to climate change. Tillerson, now the U.S. Secretary of State, used the pseudonym Wayne Tracker from at least 2008 to 2015. The Trump administration is weighing even deeper cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency than previous versions of their budget outline suggested. In its first budget draft last month, the White House proposed a 25% cut to the EPA budget. But wait, there's more. Officials are now considering cutting the agency's $8.1 billion budget even further. The axe looks set to fall hardest on EPA's climate change programs, with the staff there expected to leave the agency. The EPA budget proposal is likely to run into opposition from Congress, and it's already running into opposition from mayors. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti is coordinating the effort with dozens of other cities to purchase up to $10 billion worth of electric vehicles. 30 cities, including New York and Chicago, jointly asked automakers for the cost and feasibility of providing 114,000 electric vehicles, including police cruisers, street sweepers, and trash haulers. That would be comparable to about 72% of total U.S. plug-in vehicle sales last year. The automakers have been fighting CAFE rules, which set fuel efficiency standards, and complaining that there's just not enough demand to justify developing more efficient electric vehicles. The mayors say they'd like to have more electric vehicles on the street, including some that haven't been developed yet, such as plug-in fire trucks and street sweepers. And while the initiative would probably be spread out over several years, it would provide electric vehicle manufacturers reliable demand. Alphabet's executive chairman Eric Schmidt announced today via Twitter that John Goodenough, inventor of the lithium battery, has developed the first all-solid-state battery cells. And that is actually a pretty big deal. Goodenough's batteries reportedly have three times as much energy density as today's lithium-ion batteries. They store and transmit energy at temperatures lower than traditional lithium-ion packs, and they can be made using globally abundant supplies of sodium. The research could result in a safe, low-cost, all-solid-state cell with a huge capacity, giving a large energy density and long cycle life suitable for powering an all-electric road vehicle or for storing electric power from wind or solar energy. Goodenough and his team of researchers at the University of Texas have applied for patents on the solid-state battery technology, but it may be a while till the batteries move to production. Goodenough is a National Medal of Science laureate, and by the way, he's 94 years old. And today is March 14th, or 314. It's Pi Day. Pi is the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter, represented by the irrational number that never ends. Math enthusiasts know all about it. And the rest of the population probably hoping for cherry pie, or maybe pizza. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 44 to close at 20,837. S&P 500 Index down 8 at 2,365. And the NASDAQ Composite down 18 at 5,865. As always, follow along live streaming and archived audio at moneyradio.com and the daily blog eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.